Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
I wonder if anybody here has a brief testimony of a healing or a miracle or something has happened in your life recently that we could all celebrate with you about. Okay, Melissa, would you come up here so everybody can see you?
I'll make it short.
Okay. Promise?
Well, I'll try.
No.
Okay, so I can't even remember when it was. The end of June. Long story short, I was diagnosed with long haulers. I'd had COVID last December.
What is long haulers?
Long haulers is the effects of COVID. Not everybody gets it.
Oh, okay.
But what happens is if you get it, it brings everything you ever had that was dormant in your body to fruition. And
okay.
Yeah. So so I had long haulers, and the first doctors, they basically sent me home and said, well, if you need to go to the ER because you can't breathe, then just do that. Hmm. And so I sought out another doctor, and that doctor did all the testing, and she came in and she just read this like rap sheet of all these things that were wrong with me. And she said, honey, she said, you should have died. She said, you shouldn't be here. And she told me 2 days in a row, based on my CT scans and all my blood work, that I should have already have died and I shouldn't have made it. And she said that most people that get the long haulers after the COVID, they only have a short time to get treatment to survive. So anyway, so praise God.
Hallelujah.
I didn't die, and it wasn't my time. And it was a long road. But the cool thing is I went and got the new CT done again, and I walked out to my truck and I flipped over the paper, and it said, unremarkable, unremarkable, unremarkable. Everything has been resolved from the prior CT.
Praise God.
So 100%.
Thank you, Lord.
And that first CT had shown several heart problems, and they did test on that too, and my heart's healed.
Praise God.
I'm 100%
awesome.
Healed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. So you mean God's still healing people? I heard about that. Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else? All right. Say that again. Yes, he is. I'm very grateful to hear that. That's awesome. Praise God. That's awesome. Just after prayer, right? Just prayer. God heard prayer. It was prayer that was in accordance with his will. You know, 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have what we've asked of him. And bingo, happened quick. Praise God. Awesome. I want to encourage you, if you're able to come on Thursdays, to come to the Charis Bible study. Tomorrow starts a new series called Receiving from God. Isn't that right, Brenda? Receiving from God. So I'm excited. I go to it to be fed myself, so I'm excited about this class. And I want to learn how to receive from God better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, and it's a scripture that I've been meditating on for several weeks. Just feel like the Lord told me to personally meditate on that, and I want to bring out some things that I think will help us all in learning how to get wisdom from the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 13, it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. So you find wisdom. And who gets understanding. Then it goes on to describe wisdom. For her benefit is more profitable than silver. Her gains more than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. And all the things that you may desire are not to be compared with her. length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. It's all talking about the wisdom that God gives us. The wisdom. Notice you find wisdom. You have to find it. It's there, but you have to find it. I don't know if you've ever put out Easter eggs for your kids or grandkids, but you put Easter eggs out, you hide them, but you hide them so they can find them. And this is what God does with wisdom. He hides wisdom, but he's hoping that we're going to find it. He hides it for us. The Bible says that once you find wisdom, after that, you get understanding. Wisdom first, and then understanding comes. That's why it's so important with the things of God. It's so backwards from the world. That's why in this same text, Proverbs 3, the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Because your own understanding will talk you out of the wisdom of God. Your own understanding will say, that's just foolish. That makes no sense. It's not logical. It's not reasonable. So your own understanding can get in the way of receiving from God. The wisdom of God is much higher than our thoughts, our thinking, or our logic, or our reasoning. So your understanding can get in the way of understanding the understanding that you can get from the Spirit. But notice first you get wisdom. That's what Proverbs gives us the order. Then understand. Then you get understanding. You don't find it, you get it. And the way you get wisdom, and you get understanding rather, from wisdom, is that you extract the nutrients out of the wisdom that God gives you. That God gives you the wisdom like in his word. Do you know that there's 5 books of the Bible that are called the books of wisdom? Did you know that? Say, no, Pastor, we did not know that. Teach us. The book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the book of Job first. Job is a book of wisdom. These are 5 books. 5 is a number of grace. Interesting. But 5 books are called the books of wisdom in the Bible. So if you need wisdom, you go to the books of wisdom, which is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. They all have in it the wisdom of God in the form of riddles or little sayings or proverbs. And they have to be extracted, not by reading them, because you can read them and not get the wisdom. You extract the wisdom in the wisdom books through meditation with God. In other words, it takes you and God together to extract the wisdom that God wants you to get out of the books of wisdom through meditation or talking with God and going over something over and over and over again in your mind. So God often speaks through riddles, proverbs that require meditation with him. And these things are hidden all in the books of wisdom. So let me ask you a question. Is there more than one kind of godly wisdom? Don't answer all at once. Yes, there is. Just for example, godly wisdom, right here in Proverbs 3:19 says, For the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and he has established the heavens. So there's a creation wisdom. There's a wisdom that is foundational to the world that God has placed in creation. That there's wisdom in creation. There's wisdom to be found in an ant. There's wisdom to be found in a housefly. There's wisdom to be found in an aloe plant. There's wisdom to be found that God has placed in the earth, in creation, and in the celestial, in the planets, in the stars, and so forth. There's wisdom there, but you can't get it unless God reveals it to you. You can look at it, but never really discover the wisdom that is there. It's unattainable unless God reveals it to you. You may see it, but you won't have the understanding. You won't get the nutrients of the wisdom, the understanding that you need. It only comes if God reveals it to you. And you might find yourself one day just staring at an ant, or you might stare at a creature. You might be watching one of these animal shows on television, and you begin to see the wisdom and the knowledge and things. And maybe God's Spirit through that is just showing you the wisdom, the strength of a horse, or the medicinal power in a plant and so forth like that. You know, there's just the wisdom is there, but it takes the Holy Spirit to extract all of that. Solomon is called the wisest man in the whole world. He studied creation to get God's wisdom. He's the one that said, consider the ant, you sluggard. You know, he's the one that studied plants and animals and extracted the wisdom out of the creation. So there's wisdom in creation that God would love to share with us if we would take the time to meditate on that. But these five books of wisdom bring these things out. The oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job. It's actually older than the book of Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible. And in the book of Job, you know that Job complained to God. He complained to God that God was being unjust, that he's suffering unjustly. He didn't do anything to deserve. Anything's happening to him. And there was wisdom that Job did not have when he was complaining. May I say to you and myself that anytime we're complaining or murmuring, there's wisdom that we are lacking at that moment when we're complaining to God about something. So in chapters 38 through 41 of the book of Job, it's a long book, God says to Job, who are you, or who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He says, prepare yourself or stand up like a man, and I'm going to ask you some questions because you've had nothing but questions for me. God, why is this, and why is this, and why is this happening, and why is it? He says, now it's time for me to ask you some questions. And then for 66 or more questions, God asked Job questions that Job doesn't have an answer for. 66 questions. And if you can look in your Bible, I've just highlighted several of these. You know, he says, for example, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Did you happen to see it? Declare if you have understanding, or who shuts up the sea? Who decides? How is it that the tide can only go so far, no longer covers the earth like it did in Noah's day? Do you know anything about that? Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or have you walked in the depths of the ocean? Have you seen where the water's coming out of the earth? Do you know anything about that? And he just begins to ask him 66 questions, which Job obviously realizes that he's outmatched. There's just no way he can answer any question of God. And so he comes to the end of the book of Job, the book of wisdom, and he says, Job says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In other words, I've had secondhand knowledge of you all my life. I've had my parents teach me about you. I've had other preachers, teachers teach me about you. But now I'm experiencing you myself, and I realize I should have shut my mouth a long time ago. So the point of me saying all this is that the wisdom of God will humble you. When you start to get the wisdom of God, the first thing that's going to happen is humility in your own life. You're going to realize how little you do know compared to God. So there's a wisdom that's from the world, and there's a wisdom that comes from above. There's two different kinds of wisdom. And the book of James points that out in James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? If there is someone, let him show his works by his good life in the gentleness of wisdom. Did you catch that? Wisdom is gentle. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom that you claim to have is not from God. It's not from above, but it's earthly. So there's an earthly wisdom. It's unspiritual. And he says it's demonic. Wow, there's a demonic wisdom in the earth. For where there is envying and strife, and there is confusion in every evil work of demons. So there's a wisdom of the world that's so contrary to God's wisdom, God's ways, God's way of thinking. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, the wisdom that's from above is first of all what? The wisdom from God is first of all pure. Like a little child, it's pure. It's simple. It's not complicated. And then the wisdom that comes from God about maybe solving a problem or whatever it may be, it's always peaceable. You want to know if you have the wisdom of God? It's always peacemaking. It's always gentle. The wisdom of God, if you have it, is always open to reason. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So when the wisdom of God is evident in a person or the solving of a problem, it's pure and it's peaceable. That's one of the ways you recognize it. Now, the beginning of wisdom, the Bible's very clear in Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord is? Not to be afraid of God. It is to reverence Him, realize who we're dealing with. But the fear of the Lord is the awareness of His presence. See, people who can talk about things they shouldn't talk about or talk about people and they say, hey, I'm going to tell you something, make sure you don't ever share this with anybody else, they obviously don't have the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the awareness that God is present in every conversation. You can say, hey, I don't share this between anybody else but you, me, and the fence post. Well, too bad. You're out of luck. God is everywhere present. And the fear of the Lord is recognizing that. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's kindergarten. That's how, if you want the wisdom of God, it starts right there with the awareness that God is always present. He hears every conversation. He's involved in every business transaction. There's no backroom deal that God is not aware of. Are you with me? So this is a fear of the Lord. So what is wisdom? Basically, I think it's just simply this. It's finding and following God's way of life. That's God has a way. His way is different from the world's way. His way is different from my way. His thoughts are different from my thoughts. So I need to find wisdom. Happy is the man who finds God's way. Happy is the man who finds God's thought about something rather than 100 other people's opinions about it. It's finding and following God's way. How do you attain wisdom? How do you get wisdom? Well, we look to Solomon in the Old Testament. Solomon was called the wisest man in the world. The wisest man of all. He wrote the 5 books of wisdom. The wisest man who ever lived, he was appointed king of Israel as a very young man. The Bible says in 1 Kings 3 that God appeared to him in a dream. And God said to Solomon, ask me for whatever you want to ask for, and I will give it to you. No limit. Ask me for whatever you want, I will give it to you. God appeared to him in a dream and said that to him. He knew that this was a very holy moment. He better be very careful and not be impulsive. So he thought deeply about it. He's the newly appointed king. He's a young man. And so he says this to God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Give your servant an understanding heart. Some versions of the Bible say wisdom, but it's actually the word there, and we'll get into that in a moment, is a hearing heart. Give me a hearing heart. So I can judge the people that I'm supposed to be the king, that I may discern between what is good and bad. And the interesting, that word there, understanding heart in Hebrew, is one word. It's Shema. Shema. That may sound familiar to you. That's the word it means to hear, to listen. So the wise man, wisest man ever lived said, of all the things in the world, in the universe, I could ask God for, and he could certainly give it to me, I'm asking my number one request that you give me the ability to hear you. Wisdom. To hear you. Shema. It's interesting. Shema. I saw this morning, I thought it was something interesting. I think the Lord just brought it to my mind. In Deuteronomy 17, you won't see it up on the scripture, on the screen. But when a king was to be appointed over Israel, there were certain things that he was required to do. Every king had to do this. Number one, it was required in Deuteronomy 17, you can read it for yourself, that the people were not to elect themselves a king. God was to appoint a king. So God is apparently not into democracy. You know, God, he says, you're going to have to hear who God is choosing, because it may not look like the one you thought should be. God's wisdom, you see. The second thing that was required of a king for Israel was he was not to accumulate horses for himself. He wasn't to accumulate wives for himself, or he wasn't to accumulate excess silver or gold for himself. But here was something very interesting. Anyone that was appointed king, chosen king by God, the first thing he had to do, he had to handwrite a copy of the law or the word of God out for himself. He had to handwrite it, a copy of the law. And then he had to read it every day of his life so that, the scripture says, so that he might fear the Lord, be aware of God, and his heart not be lifted up because of his position. Wow. That was what was required for a king. So he had to learn, the most important thing I can get is to hear God. That's wisdom. I need to hear God myself. The very first scripture, you may not be aware of this, but if you were Jewish in an Orthodox family, as a little child, the very first scripture that you were commanded to meditate upon and memorize is actually called the Shema. That's what it's called. And it's actually taken from the first word of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. This is called the Shema. And every Jewish child, it's the first scripture they had to memorize. The Shema, Shema simply means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Then it goes on further. But you get the gist of it. The point is this, that hearing God is the most important thing that where one can get wisdom. Hello. Hearing God. It stands true today. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and gets understanding. And it goes on to say, when it describes wisdom, and if you get this wisdom from God, guess what it's going to give you? In the beginning of Proverbs, it says it will give you length of days and long life. Wait a minute. Isn't that saying the same thing? No, it's not. Proverbs 3 says it will give you length of days and long life. Aren't they the same? Apparently not. That's the wisdom of God. So length of days and long life is not the same. You know what length of days is? Health. Next to your salvation, the most important thing you can have here on earth is your health. It's more important than money, more important than influence, more important than fame, more important than success. Long life is long life. Psalm 91, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my Yeshua, or my salvation. So length of days is what wisdom will bring to you, or health. So if you follow God's wisdom, you'll be healthy. So the most important thing we can get from God is to hear Him. The wisest man in the world said, the best thing I want can never get from God is, I need to hear you. Two primary ways we hear God. Number one is the Word of God, the written Word. Do you know that the Bible tells us that it is alive? Hebrews 4:16 or 4:12. The Word of God is alive. I hear it. I hear the heartbeat. I hear the breathing. The Word of God is alive. It's living. So that's why when you read it, you can get something different out of it every time, because it's alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They're living. It causes you to live. And so the Word of God is the primary way we hear God. And another way that we hear God is the voice of God, the voice of the Lord through the Spirit. And they will always agree. They will never contradict. That's our safety. So the Bible says in Romans 10:17, says this, and you've heard this a couple weeks ago. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the phrase there, the Word of God, is a word in Greek called rhema. Rhema. And that means that which is uttered by the living voice is heard in your heart. Faith comes by hearing God speak to you. That's how it comes. There's no other way. Faith comes by you hearing God speak to you, whether you're reading the Bible or you're hearing preaching, and life is put in you because the Word is spoken to you, and you hear not only in the natural, but you hear in the Spirit. You hear and you hear. And you come alive. And your spirit leaps on the inside because you know you've heard from God. Tonight, I heard something God wanted me to hear. I hear. It's what's uttered by the voice of God, the Spirit of God. That's wisdom. The Apostle Paul asked the Galatian Christians who were kind of slipping back into, they were slipping back into legalism. They were Jews, and they got saved, believed in Jesus Messiah, and then they had some people come along and got them all confused and got them going back into trying to keep the Sabbath and all this stuff to make you right with God. So Paul asked them a question, the question I want to ask you. Did you receive the Spirit through works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's a question for you. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? When you were born again, you received the Holy Spirit. How did you receive? Was it by the hearing of faith, or was it by you just cranking out and just going to keep the law? I'm asking you a question. By hearing of faith. That's the only way you could be saved. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. Then he goes on to say, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and you're now going to think you're going to be perfected by the flesh? This is what makes Grace Tabernacle a unique church in the midst of the Christian community. Amen. We believe it's by grace you're saved, and it's by grace you stay saved. Amen. It's by grace that you live. It's by grace. It's not by you getting saved and then just going to, boy, I'm going to reform and do the best I can and be the best person I can and try to be religious and... Legalism is the enemy of grace. Amen. It is the enemy of grace. Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or is it by the hearing of faith? question? The hearing of faith. Everything from God is by the hearing of faith. First Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the people who think they're wise." And one of the biggest ones that Christians stumble over is speaking in tongues. Because that is just utter foolish. That's gibberish. That's silly. Christian community, so divided over speaking in tongues. It's foolish. And God chooses to use, of all things, He in His great wisdom has chosen to use things that the wise people of the world will say, that's foolish. And God says, no, it's wise. Watch how it works. 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. Although in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Tongues is foolish, the foolishness of God. That he uses to confound the wise. It makes no sense to your mind. Even to this day, my mind tries to talk me out of it. 1 Corinthians 14:13, "Let him who speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." Now we're getting to the wisdom part. Hang on. Ooh, hang on. "He who speaks in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret what he's saying, because he doesn't know what he's saying." In Colossians chapter 2, it won't be up on the screen, Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus." So when you get born again by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes in your body to stay. And He stays there. But inside Him, in your born-again spirit, is Jesus, who God purposely hid all the treasures of wisdom, and not some, all the treasures of the universe of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, who is hidden inside you. So inside you is now all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You could say inside you is the answer to every problem in the whole universe. It's in you. If it's in Jesus and Jesus is in you, then it's in you. Are you with me? So, how do I access it? That's the question. Okay. To access this wisdom God placed in Jesus, who is inside you, by the Holy Spirit inside your new born again spirit, to access this wisdom and knowledge in your spirit, you must look pretty foolish. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're praying the mysteries of God that are hidden inside your spirit. So now, after that, you pray for the interpretation. What's the interpretation going to be? The Bible I use, I like this Bible. I'm probably going to buy another one. This is I got it from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Whether you're a follower of Kenneth Copeland or not, it doesn't matter. The notes are in it are just worth this Bible's weight in gold. I'd encourage you to... If you're looking for a good Bible with good Word of Faith type study notes, then I would encourage you to get one of these Bibles. I think they're $59 if you go to kcm.org in any way. That's just a good Bible. It's one I use, and I get a lot of good information out of it. In one portion of Scripture here, some of these footnotes I wanted to read to you. It talks about the Holy Spirit, tongues, and interpretation. This is an additional study that's added to the notes here. And in particular, it says, when you pray in other tongues, you're praying beyond your intellect over into an area of the mind of Christ and getting answers to challenging situations. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, Colossians 2:2. And you are in Him and He's in you. The Holy Spirit has the answer to everything you need to know, and He's living right inside you. So he talks about to transfer the understanding you need from your spirit to your mind. As you are seeking the Lord for answers, you must do what 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, pray that you may interpret. Pray in an unknown tongue, and then pray that you may interpret. And the Lord will get answers to you in a usable form so you can act on it. It can come as an inner conviction of knowing. It can come as an unction to do something, or it can other ways you'll know it's His wisdom for the situation. To receive the interpretation, when you're praying in other tongues, you just say, Lord, I pray that I may interpret. Believe I receive the interpretation in Jesus' name, and then I will know what my spirit is saying about this situation. It may not come right then. It may come later on. I can't tell you how many times I wake up in the middle of the night, you know, get up, go to the bathroom, or take a drink of water or something, and instantly I can, when I wake up right away, I realize what my mind has been dwelling on. And many times it has been a piece that I was missing or needing to prepare something I was going to preach or teach to you, and there it just, it's there. And it was going on while I was sleeping in my soul. I have to take a piece of paper and go write it down and go, man, this is really good. Why couldn't you give me this while I was awake? Probably because my mind was too busy. Too busy. Solutions to problems have come. I woke up and remembered where I lost something. I've been praying, God, help me find it. And I woke up and realized, oh, I left it in the car. I go out, there it is. And it's much greater than that. I'm saying the wisdom of God is there in you to help you with your life. Anyway, there's so many good notes here. I don't take time to read all that to you, but I would encourage you to pray that you interpret what the Holy Spirit wants you to have. Because the wisdom and knowledge is already there. It's resident. You pray in tongues. You believe that you've received. James 1:5 says that if you lack wisdom, anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't upbraid you for asking for wisdom. It's probably the most repeated prayer I pray anytime I go into a counseling or meeting with somebody. I always like to pray James 1:5 first. God, give me wisdom. So I don't just see in the natural and miss the wisdom of God. But it says if you must pray in faith, believing that God will answer you, and He'll give you solutions. Have you found that true? Let me give you a test. Let's just see. This is a simple test. Let's ask God for wisdom to extract the nutrients, and you probably already have this wisdom, out of one verse of Scripture. And the verse of Scripture is one we probably are all familiar with. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 is the verse, and I'll read it for you. I'll say it to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he was talking about material things. Instead of looking for food and looking for clothing, don't worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, there's the wisdom of God. I'm placing it in your lap. You've been given the wisdom of God. Now extract the nutrients out of it. Tell me, what's the wisdom from that verse that the Spirit of God is showing you or has shown you? You may already have it. Tell me, somebody. What's the wisdom of that verse?
Focus on the kingdom.
Focus on the kingdom. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. What?
Put God first.
Put God first. Yes.
To seek.
What?
To seek.
To seek.
Seek God.
Yeah. Seek God. Yeah. Yeah.
In His righteousness.
In His righteousness.
In His righteousness.
Okay. 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 We're just starting. We're trying to extract the nutrients here. What is this? What is the wisdom of God in this one verse that I can apply to my life and it will work every time?
Seek Him.
What was it? Yeah, He's got it all. He wants us to have it all. That's good. I hadn't thought of that. God's heart is He wants for us to have everything that we need abundantly. Okay, here it is, and we're saying it, and we put all this together as we meditate on this. This one verse of Scripture, the wisdom of God that we can extract out of this is this: if you will put God first, He'll help you with everything you need. That's it. If you'll put God first, what's on His heart, everything you need, He'll make sure you're taken care of. It's simple, but that's the wisdom. That's the wisdom. Okay, you put God first, seek Him first, His kingdom, His dominion, His righteousness, His ways, everything that you're seeking, He'll make sure you have it. Solomon's wisdom. Ask me for anything. He didn't ask for money. Didn't ask to defeat his enemies. He didn't ask for pleasure. He said, I need to hear you, God. Because if I hear you, I'll have everything I'll ever need. And God came back to him and said, you know, you were wise because you didn't ask for yourself a long life. You didn't ask for yourself pleasure. You didn't ask for yourself riches. You didn't ask for the heads of your enemies. And because you've asked to hear me first, I'm going to give you everything else included. Are you getting the wisdom of God? God's ways. Yeah, Bob. Speak it out loud for us, brother. Amen.
And so as Jesus said, I came to serve and not be served.
Yeah.
That's what Solomon was saying when he said, I want this understanding so that I can serve
your
people.
So I can do what you called me to do. Amen. Amen. Wisdom of God. So let's ask God for wisdom. Would you stand up? Now, is there a problem on your life today that's a real challenge and you need God's wisdom on what's the solution? I don't know what the solution is in the natural. I've got several in my mind right now. I don't know what the solution is in the natural. So I need God's wisdom. I'm asking God's wisdom. So once I've prayed everything I know to pray with my mind, I've already asked God for everything I know to ask in my mind, but I know that I may not still be asking properly for the right things. I need to now pray in tongues. And then after I pray in tongues, I should have a peace to let me know when it's okay. Yeah, you said it. And then ask God for the interpretation. So I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Ask God in the natural for wisdom about it. Just go ahead and just kind of there under your breath. You don't have to tell everybody your problems or whatever you're dealing with. God, I'm asking you for wisdom to help with this situation. I'm asking you for wisdom about finances. I'm asking you wisdom about a health decision. I'm asking you for wisdom, God, about reconciling with a child or an issue or a situation. I'm asking for wisdom. So you ask, go ahead and ask in the natural. Go ahead. Ask in the natural. Now, is there anything else you can ask in the natural that you know? If there isn't anything else, now you kick it in gear and go and pray in tongues. Now just lift up your voice and begin to pray with the Holy Spirit. You prayed with your mind, now pray with the Spirit. Ishaka hamaeke. Holo malaha shete katarateke. Mondolo korete kashalabo. Mala korete kashe. De saramorando kosilekati, momoreta. Be shalarorondo kosoloto. Basaladende momoreteka. You can't pray in tongues with your mind. You pray with your spirit. Let the spirit come out of your mouth. It sounds foolish, doesn't it? It looks ridiculous, doesn't it? The world says you're crazy. But you've heard the wisdom of God. And so you exercise faith at a new level. You come up to God's level and you speak in tongues. Now once you have peace settle on you, just let it just simmer down. And when you're done, now ask in English for God to give you you just had with God. Ask God to give you the interpretation of your conversation. God, I ask you for the interpretation by the Spirit of my conversation with you. And this may not be the appropriate place. You may need to be still and alone, or maybe you need to go to sleep tonight, but God will give you the interpretation. He'll give you the counsel of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are all the seven spirits of God. Isaiah chapter 11. God wants you to have those same things. Spirit of counsel is the spirit of understanding, wisdom. Thank you, Father. We trust you. We believe you to receive your wisdom. We are coming to find wisdom from you and to get understanding. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.